Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you and praise you that we can be here. We think of all those who are not with us today. Some are at the show. We just pray that you would be with them, and just may your spirit just guide them in all that they do there. And may they be able to get a real blessing from you, from just being in that place today. We'll pray for each of us here. I pray for this message, Lord, that, Lord, your words would be spoken, that your spirit would just be here in our working in our hearts and our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many moons ago, when I was young, I'm about to get a whole lot older in the next couple of days, but anyway, many moons ago when I was young, my mum insisted that I go to church looking my best. I guess some of you can relate to that. I had to look my best. Now, if anybody knows me well, they know that I don't like getting dressed up. I don't like dress as much. And for most of my life, I was really into sport. So I played sport, I watched sport, and I liked to run around and in the backyard with my brothers and my dad, and kick balls and do all that sort of stuff. So here I am, my mum's saying, you need to go to church, Glenda, you need to look your best. So that meant wearing an annoyingly frilly dress, you know, scratchy. White frilly socks, I can see them right now, and some really uncomfortable black fancy shoes that used to slip, and my face had to be washed, you know what mums are like. My teeth had to be cleaned and my hair brushed, and then when I was at church I had to be on my very best behaviour. I had to sit quietly and not make a noise. Because Mum said I was in God's house and I needed to be the best I could be. Anything less would be disrespectful. Well, I couldn't wait to get home, to strip off all those uncomfortable clothes, grab the footy and go outside, kick it around and roll in the mud and commentate that I was in a game and I was playing. So there you go. That was my life. Yes. So how many of us come to church each week to pay our respects to God, sing praises to Him, and join in heartfelt prayers, listen with interest, I hope, to His word being read and discussed, talk and engage happily with others over a cuppa and morning tea, only to get in our cars, leave, and return to our everyday life? Yes, we get in the car and we stop at the shop on our way home. The car park in the shopping centre is busy, as it tends to be on a Sunday. And finally we see a spot and we're just about to head for it when someone cuts in front of us and takes our spot. Well, we open the window and loudly abuse the driver with some colourful language. Finally we park the car and we go into the shop. And we see someone from work in the distance. Well, we quickly turn and walk down another aisle. We don't want to get caught talking to that person because we're in a hurry. They're not really our most favourite person either. We don't really get along. And they've been struggling recently. And we don't want to listen to their grief story because it makes us uncomfortable. So off we go. We just try and avoid them. So we're around the shop trying to avoid this person. Now, when we go to the self-serve checkout, we look around, no one's looking. So the bananas get put through as tomatoes because this week the tomatoes are much cheaper per kilo than the bananas. So we think, you know, the supermarkets, they've been in trouble lately for price gouging. So they owe us, don't they? So everything's all right. And after that, we put the stuff in our car and we drive home, knowing that we've got visitors coming for lunch very soon. The speed limit is 80 kilometres, but we're in a hurry, so we justify going at 100. At home, the first words out of our mouths to our partner are angry and uncaring. Why haven't you got the barbecue clean and ready and the meat cooking? Our visitors will be here in a few minutes. You're absolutely useless. Angry words are returned, and before long, it's a screaming match. The visitors arrive and we put on our happy face, acting like everything is just perfect. We eat and we drink way too much, and we gossip about people we know, mercilessly attacking their character. After the visitors go home, we clean up in silence because we're still angry with each other. Then our partner retreats to the solitude of their computer. We turn on the TV and we watch a movie. This movie has lots of very bad language and explicit scenes, but we just sit there and we take it all in. After the movie, we go to bed with our trusty tablet and we spend time drinking in the dubious contents of social media before we fall asleep. Where is God in all this? Left behind at church? Thrown off like my old church clothes? Don't you realise that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honour God with your body. So our body is a special place where God's Spirit lives. So when I asked you before to think about if God said, I'm coming to be with you, he actually is with us all the time. His Spirit lives within us. Our lives, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't belong to ourselves anymore because God paid a huge price to save us through Jesus' sacrifice. Because of that, we should treat our body with respect and we should honour God with it. This means looking after our health, staying away from bad stuff and using our body in ways that show we care about God. By doing this, we show that we understand how special our body is because God's Spirit is with us 24/7 all the time. Now, Annie read for us before a little about Solomon's temple. Of course, he didn't build it himself. He got lots of skilled craftsmen to build it. But it was an incredible building. It showcased the best of ancient architecture and craftsmanship. It took 7 years to build, and they used the finest materials and the most skilled labour force. The temple was quite large, as we heard. It measured 90 feet long, 30 feet wide and 45 feet tall. Inside, the walls and ceilings were covered with cedar wood and pure gold. Intricate carvings of cherubim, palm trees and flowers adorned the walls, adding to its beauty. In the most sacred area, called the Holy of Holies, there was the gold altar, gold table, gold lampstands, bowls and utensils. And Annie read about the two large cherubim made of the finest wood that were covered in gold, its wings stretched across the entire width of the Holy of Holies. This was a magnificent structure. And if you want to read more about the temple, which is a really good thing to do, read one from Kings, 1 Kings. So the temple was a magnificent structure built to house our holy and awesome God. It was God's personal residence. Now, God lives in us. We are his dwelling place, his personal residence. He is with us all the time. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the customs and behaviours of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In the past, you did not have the understanding you have now, so you did the evil things you wanted to do. But now you are children of God, so you should obey him and not live the way you did before. Be holy in everything you do. just as God is holy. He is the one who chose you. In the scriptures, God says, be holy because I am holy. The temple that Solomon built was a very holy place. The Jewish people had many practices and rituals to keep it clean and pure. It was important to them that the temple stayed clean, both physically and spiritually, because it was the place where God's presence lived among them. Our bodies are now God's temple, and his presence lives within us. This means we should keep ourselves clean and pure, both physically and spiritually, to honour God who dwells in us. Just like when I was a kid and would throw off my church clothes as soon as I got home to go and roll in the mud, we can't just be God's people when we're at church or around other Christians. We can't switch back to our regular lives and take on all the dirt from the world. We're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a very high price. The sacrifice of Jesus' own life. We owe it to God to keep his temple, our bodies, in good order, holy and acceptable to him. Does this mean we can't make mistakes and we have to be perfect? No. But being set free from sin doesn't give us a license to do whatever we want. It's an incredible privilege to have ready access to our Father God all the time. In honour of him and all that he has done for us, we should willingly submit to him and his ways. After all, we can trust him with our lives. He loves us so very much, and he wants us to inherit his kingdom and all he has in store for us. In acknowledging that we are God's and surrendering our lives to him and his ways, we no longer desire to be part of the corrupt world which is full of wrongdoing and ungodliness. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live in a way that honours God. The Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. Just as the wind moves, we are led by the Spirit in all our decisions and actions. Like fire, the Spirit purifies us and ignites a zeal for God's truth. The dove symbolises the peace and purity we embody, while water represents the life-giving and refreshing presence of the Spirit flowing through us. Finally, the anointing oil signifies that we are chosen and set apart for God's purposes. By allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us in these ways, we can truly live as temples of God, honouring him in all that we do. This entire building is under construction and is continually growing under his supervision until it rises up completed as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. The work of the Spirit in us is an ongoing process of spiritual growth and transformation. Through the Spirit, God is guiding and shaping us. Just as the physical temple was a place where God's presence dwelled, we are now being transformed into his dwelling place through the Holy Spirit. This transformation calls for a life of holiness, devotion, and openness to the Spirit's leading, entrusting that we reflect God's love and glory to the world around us. And this transformation is not just about individual growth, but also about becoming a unified body, collectively rising to reflect the holiness and glory of God. Our lives are to be a direct reflection of God's holy presence, filled with his Spirit and dedicated to his purposes. So this applies to all of us in the church. If one falls, we all fall. You know that game I had at camp last week, the Jenga game, where, you know, you build the building and you've got to pull bits out? Well, when things get pulled out, what happens? Does the building stand? No, the Jenga blocks fall and, yeah, that's what happens with a big crash usually. I think about us as a church and us as individuals. We're all part of this. I'm asking, we talked last week about and ask the Spirit to fall on us, because we want change in our own lives individually, because when that happens, all together we make a whole, and all together we can work in power to transform, to bring about transformation in our communities and in the lives of the people that we meet. So we need each of us to be involved in this work of the Spirit. As we grow together in the Spirit and act in unity, we can make a meaningful impact on our world, bringing hope, love and positive change. Together we're stronger. To impact our world together in the Spirit, we need to embrace unity, support one another and actively participate in service. By praying together, sharing our faith and living lives that honour God, we reflect His presence. Through community projects, addressing needs and spreading God's message, we can make a significant difference. As a unified, Spirit-filled community, our collective efforts can bring hope, love, and positive change to the world around us. So let's remember, friends, that God lives within us, and let's allow Him to have the run of our house, His house. Let's invite the Spirit to recreate us into holy and beautiful reflections of Him, so we can truly be the light of the world, not blending in, not taking on the customs of the world, but standing out and shining brightly in the darkness. May God bless us each one today.